It's got to be talked about. It's got to be talked about. But, of course, not everyone will see it in the same way. One man's porn is another man's art. One woman's tackiness is another woman's beauty. But we don't have to come up with a legal definition to frame public policy tonight. We can freely accept a spectrum that starts with art and beauty and moves through images like page three girls to the hardcore porn of violence and underage sex. For tonight, we need simply apply the test that Jesus gave us. You remember he said, you've heard it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's the test of eyes and heart. You know, when isn't she beautiful? Turns into the mental undressing of the woman you pass in the street. Those immoral Lynx deodorant adverts. Or just the wallowing in the soft porn of Disney romantic fantasy. Not an erotic picture in sight, but a distorting just as certainly of marriage and love and the trigger for many a feminine imaginary sex, especially when in the middle of the romance the author slips in the erotic paragraph or two. That's what attracts some women. Most men just cut the frills. And as we look at the stats, which reflect far more substantial pornographic images than that, often speak of serious pornography or sexually explicit websites, I suspect there's a spectrum of responses, again, from shock to shrug, from how awful to what do you expect? Or, and wasn't it striking, it was the older generation that trotted out the consenting adults, four-wall stuff. Both responses have their place. Both are inadequate. At least they are, if I'm seeing the world the way God sees it. So pick up a Bible, would you, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. It's page 1129. It's a chapter where the writer describes the world we live in and how God's present judgment works itself out. And Constance is coming, and she's just going to read to us from the very end of that survey of the world scene, what a world under this judgment looks like, as she picks it up at verse 28.
Romans 1, verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
See how that section began, verse 28? Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Here is our society. It doesn't want to know God anymore. I mean, never mind the reality. They even campaign for us to tick the no religion box in the census form. Now, we don't think God's worth knowing, so... Well, and here's the striking thing, you see. His judgment is not to zap us, to blot us out. We keep laughing at him, thinking that because he hasn't zapped us, he doesn't really mind. And all the time, his judgment comes in a very different way. Do you see what verse 28 is really saying? We don't think God is worth having. So he gives us up to a mind not worth having. Or at least a mind that is warped and dislocated. So we can't live rightly, to do what ought not to be done. And the follower, a list of 21 evils. Lust and sexual impurity, they've already been dealt with earlier in this survey, but look right in the middle of them. Look at verse 30, will you? Did you spot that little clause? They invent ways of doing evil. That's so relevant with pornography. See, it's ridden the wave of every recent technological advance and twisted them for its own end, from video to camcorder, from internet, 420 million pornographic pages, to mobile phones. $1.7 billion was the market for porn on mobiles in 2008. And now it's 3D. One friend I've got, who I know is involved in a 3D project, said he chatted to some of the 3D companies who might film it, and their other clients are nearly all from the pornographic industry. It's resulted in almost the perfect storm for pornography in this country. A society where sexual inhibitions are low, and pornography is, well, it's accessible, it's anonymous. See, it's such a far cry, isn't it, from, well, anyone of my generation will remember our teenagers. If you wanted porn, you've got to go to the newsagent. It's on the top shelf, and you're just wanting to make sure no one else is looking when you get it there, and you're not really looking the shopkeeper in the eyes as you're paying for it and pretending what you really wanted was the newspaper and the packet of polos, and you've got to go through all of that to get there. Nowadays, I just need to be in my bedroom with my laptop, a couple of clicks, and I'm there. And it's affordable. Oh, there might be $5 billion worth in internet pornography sales, but you can get plenty of it for free. I leave you to work out how you get from one to the other. And it's an issue that crosses genders. Listen to Sue making this point. I'd really like it to be acknowledged that this can be a problem for women as well as men. For me, she writes, pornographic images are not particularly erotic, but erotic fiction is extremely powerful. Female masturbation is a genuine issue too, perhaps especially for single women, and again, something that I've never heard acknowledged. These issues are always assumed to be gender specific, and as such, it makes it even harder for women to admit when they're struggling in these areas. See, look at some more stats, if you like. Take this, the ratio of internet porn users, male to female, 60-40. Women are too shrewd to smile too smugly too quickly, because put alongside it, this ratio of internet users, male to female, 60-40. The world we live in. You come back to the end of this chapter, to verse 32. Look what he says there. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, not death row and execution, but God's ultimate judgment. The vast, vast majority of people caught up in pornography know it's wrong, even if they won't bring in the God dimension. Although they know that, they not only continue to do it, the writer says. That's the porn user, the porn addict. But it doesn't stop there either, does it? They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. There's the porn industry encouraging us to go on with our addiction. We know it's wrong, we do it, we encourage it. There's the pattern. That's the world we live in, and we shouldn't be surprised. It's just how God portrays it. And we shouldn't just shrug as if it doesn't matter either. Pornography is an ugly offense to God. But please, we need to understand this from the outset tonight. It's not just an issue for them. It is for us inside church walls. Here are some other stats I've just come across. Christian leaders, 25 to 55, who had deliberately accessed online porn, Christian leaders, 50%. Christian men under 35 who had deliberately accessed online porn, 65%, which would make the women somewhere in the 40 to 45% region. And the thing that got to me about those statistics is they were from Northern Ireland. And I would have expected the stats to be lower in Northern Ireland. which may tell you more about me than Northern Ireland. But it may well actually be right that they are lower in Northern Ireland. Here is a student worker writing into a thing that Tim Chester, in this brilliant book, Captured by a Better Vision, put out. He was working with young Christian men in a British university. He said, "I've only come across one person who doesn't struggle with porn and addictive masturbation. Someone mentoring single young men in a well-known mission agency, I'd say the porn addiction is about 60 to 70%. Another minister, every man under 40 in the congregation has struggled with porn." The figures don't have to be precise. We can do the statistics ourselves. If a couple of thousand people come through these doors on a Sunday, whether it's 40 or 50 or 60%, you can work out the figures, can't you? Tonight is for us, and not just them. And of course, pornography has consequences.